This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out a bad seat, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad locks, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in New York City. People dressed in plastic bags, directing in traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do but all my friend and come around, flat to party, hoop. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices, O'Reilly Auto Parts, every day, 55-212-4227 to get on the bench. Are you with us tonight from New York? We lost our friend Chester Bennington today. I hated to hear that news of his suicide at 41 with six kids. Rest in peace, bro. He used to love the show. He came on a lot. So I'm creeped out by it because he was like a big Cornell fan. It was Cornell's birthday. He hung himself. Just a horrible way to go out. He had to be really messed up, troubled, and had all kinds of demons or something. It's inexplicable to me. This is just me. No offense, no disrespect, man. But, how do you do that to your wife and six kids? Honestly, I just don't get it. I'll never understand that way out. What do I know, though? I'm no expert on why people decide to end it. I just find it very disturbing, and I saw that today. I almost keeled over. Chester was a cool dude and a friend of mine and a friend of the show, and he used to come on the show a lot. You've heard him on this show, on this network a couple times at the very least. He'd been on over the years on Howard and everywhere else. Cool dude, gone way too soon, 41. That's ridiculous, right?
Huge sports fan, too. Loved Arizona sports.
Loved his teams out in Zona. I just don't get it, Mafia. I just don't get it. I know he was messed up. You know, he was sexually abused as a kid, allegedly. Right. So, I mean, I know he had problems and troubled as a child. So, obviously, that kind of stuff haunts you, whatever. What do I know? But it can't be good. The whole thing is just so crazy to hear about his suicide today. It just kind of bummed me out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's so unexpected. Like you said, such a young guy, 41 years old. They just released a new album. They're going out on tour. I think, they're supposed to headline the Governor's Ball here at the end of the summer. So, I mean, him like Cornell, you know, they're out doing their thing. People are going crazy for him. Thousands of people loving them every night. And then for some reason, there's something going on underneath, whether it be their past or whatever it is, that just makes him not want to go on anymore. It's just tough. It sucks. I mean, you don't expect with guys who are famous, who have lots of money, figure, you know, it's only the losers and the poor people that have depression. But no, it affects everybody. Where I just finished John Saunders' book and talking about all the things he went through the years, from his depression, from his bad childhood. Depression affects everybody. And, you know, just reach out to someone who you think might have and need help.
I only get depressed when I don't cash tickets. Then again, I know that Carver High doesn't like that kind of comment this early in the conversation here about someone's suicide. But I get depressed when my bets don't hit. I'm just saying.
And we're probably going to play a clip or two from our interviews with him a couple of years ago later on the show for people, maybe later this hour.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Does our show broadcast in heaven? I'm wondering, aren't we on? Does Apple Music go to heaven?
Yes.
I think it does, actually. So he'll have front row seat for the show every night.
It was brutal. I love that first album. It's a Carver High top 15 of all
time. Top 15 all time gets
Hybrid
you
Theory.
Massive grace
right
points.
I met Chester back in 1999.
Where'd you meet him?
At Irving Plaza. This was before Hybrid Theory hit, and it was big. I was that was when I was running a record store. I was working in that business, and I had some tickets. He was the first band, Linkin Park, on like a big 4 or 5 band thing. He was done.
Did they sell Molly out of the back of the record store?
Yeah, they did not. He come up and he hung out with me and cousin Sean for a good 20, 30 minutes just talking music with us and just hanging. And he was a great dude. But, you know, that was way back. That was before he was famous, really. But
Wasn't it like a deal where he never was like the... I think he told me once he was never a singer or anything. They just turned him into one, didn't they? Like he was just...
He tried out for Linkin Park and he got the gig.
But before that, long before that, he wasn't like a singer. When he was a kid, that's not what he was doing. I think I remember him telling me that that wasn't what he wanted to do. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
They turned him into a rock star, right? All right, so big show tonight. David Dudzik joining us in 10 minutes. Golf week, the Open Championship. Enough said. Americans ruled the first round of the Open Championship. I told you yesterday, whatever you do, don't bet on an American. Jordan Spieth, Kuchar, Koepka, all tied for the lead at 5-under.
Whoops.
Could it be a rare big weekend for American golfers at the Open Championship? Although Rose, Poulter, Casey, all lurking. We'll talk to David Dusick. I'm sure maybe tomorrow your boy Katrick, if we can track him down somewhere. Very busy guy.
Going to be a big weekend for the Americans over there at Royal Birkdale.
According to Carver High, a big weekend for Americans.
I thought Spieth was going to be, he was one of my picks for the weekend. I thought him and Day would get back on track. So I'm looking good right now. Had Spieth and Kuchar in the fantasy, the daily fantasy today, so let's roll.
You rocked a daily fantasy golf?
Personally, yes.
Personally. We rock the daily fantasy baseball rosters every day on the bench.
Correct.
On my website, which is on the I Am Scott Farrell app. Chris Swick at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific from Yahoo. Baseball guy, big league stew. We'll talk to him about baseball, deadline, what's going on around the majors. Always important to check the ballparks. More trades today with Jaime Garcia to the Twins, David Phelps to the Mariners. Rumors are heating up the A's. Starter Sonny Gray with the Astros and the Yankees are involved. Would you give up top prospects for Sonny Gray? 855-212-4-CBS, the number 4227. After serving 9 years in prison, O.J. the Juice Simpson will be released on parole. Did O.J. deserve to get out? So I watched that today, you know, on and off sparingly. I just saw bits and pieces of it. I saw the beginning. I saw the end. A little bit of the middle. All the people on there talking nonsense and gibberish. The one guy, unless I'm mistaken, wasn't there one guy in there, the guy that he allegedly lured him into doing this? He blames him for everything?
Right.
The white guy? What was his name?
Know his name.
Who cares?
He what was a joke.
Throwing
that
him under the bus. Like,
just a joke.
So I don't understand. Was that one guy there to like keep him in jail?
I don't know what they were trying to do. It was so hard. I guess that's what he was trying to do for him. Because he blames him for everything. They blame OJ for everything that happened.
So anyway, I saw the end. The lady said, you're granted parole. That's all that matters. His lawyer was painful. A lot of people were bashing the lawyer.
Everything was painful about the entire thing.
He under terms of the parole, he's permitted to drink alcohol, but not in excess. What does that mean? If tests show he has a blood alcohol content of 0.08 or higher, that'll be considered excess. So if he's drunk, it's like driving drunk. If you're over 0.08, you're drunk.
So is somebody going to walk around with him every hour of the day and check him?
I guess.
How are they going to figure that one out?
He's been scheduled, his sentence has been scheduled to end September 29, 2022. That's over with. They voted 4-0 to let him out. He said, I've spent 9 years making no excuses about anything. I'm sorry that things turned out the way they did. I had no intent to commit a crime. I've done my time. I just like to get back to my family and friends. Believe it or not, I do have some real friends, and I tried to be helpful to everybody.
Juice loves those cameras, man. He knew that thing was on TV today. Juice loves a camera.
Then, as he was led down a hall, the former athlete raised his hands over his head in victory and said, "Oh, God, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you." When he got the decision, his sister wept and hugged his daughter, Arnell Simpson. 70 years old. He was convicted of armed robbery in 08. So he's 70 years old. What do you give him left on the life expectancy chart?
He's going to live forever.
The Juice is going to live forever.
This dude beat murder, and now he's getting out again. This guy, I'm telling you right now, I know he can't make any money or whatever the deal
is. Are you
giving him to a buck three? I mean, he's going to go to at least 95. I'm telling you, the Juice is going to go for a long time. The question is, will he end up back in jail? That's the question we need to ask.
The Juice.
Listen, he is going to be, he gets out, what, October 1st, whatever the deal is? I give it 6 months. This dude's going to have a television show. He's going to be followed around some kind of reality show. And now I know they got that thing where he can't make any outside money,
right,
whatever the deal is.
Right.
He'll find a way. To make
under the
money.
Table.
It'll happen. That dude he loves the attention. He's going to be waiting for people to follow him out of that jail. He can't wait for people to watch him playing golf the next weekend and wherever he's going, Florida or wherever. That guy
he's
loves the spotlight.
He's going to Florida.
He's dying
for
this.
No state tax. He's going to get his NFL pension. He's going to have more money than you, than anybody.
All of us.
All of us. Every month he gets a check, doesn't he, for what, 25 grand? I don't think it's that much. I think that's what it's capable of being. I think it's going to be more like, am I wrong? I heard something like 13,000. Could you live on 13 large a month? I think you could manage. Hugh Freeze is out at Ole Miss tonight. The school had discovered potential inappropriate contact he made allegedly with an escort service. He denies all of that. He will receive no buyout, no severance pay after standing behind him for months during an ongoing investigation. How bad does Ole Miss look now? Wow. Ole Miss, Hugh Freeze is out. This is a staggering development. Escort service calls cited. As we've heard all night tonight, he's denied that. Matt Luke, in his sixth season as co-offensive coordinator and offensive line coach, has been named interim coach. What a disaster in Oxford. How does the Grove look now? I wouldn't be caught dead there. He had $2 million left on his contract for this year, $5 million next year, $5.5 million in 2019. Will not be paid. He would have been fired if he didn't resign. Once we looked at the rest of the phone records, we found a pattern. It's sad and unexpected for Ole Miss. The school was going to use a moral turpitude termination clause to get rid of him. Either way, now they're saying Luke is a great coach, a leader, and a rock. Crack rock. Oh, my God. What a mess. We continue this week with baseball matchups that are solid. Bombers in Seattle tonight, Atlanta at Chavez Ravine, San Diego, San Francisco, Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, just to name a few of the games going on. Get the best picks for every game every day at PharrellOnTheBench.com. We have top-shelf daily fantasy lineups in baseball to make people money. No one touches us, absolutely no one, when it comes to boxing and MMA winners. The best results, the best price in the business, anywhere in the world. PharrellOnTheBench.com sets the standard. Pro and college football right around the corner doing push-ups. And I'm better at everybody at picking football as well. And that's a fact. Sign up today at PharrellOnTheBench.com.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
David Dusick is legendary on the bench from Golf Week, talking about the Open Championship. Mr. Dusick, how are you?
Good evening, Mr. Pharrell. How are you?
So, as you know, many years now you've been on the bench. The Open Championship is my favorite major, bar none. It is true golf in the highest level of just pain, deliverance, 12-foot-deep bunkers, fescue, wind, rain, pelting conditions, changing daily, just, you know, absolute chaos. It makes a man out of you. There's nothing better than golf. Everyone that I've ever talked to in my life that is, and I have a lot of friends that have played over there at every single course. They all say the same thing. It's the very best.
It sounds like Hell Week back at the Sig Kai house. Man, oh man, the way you're painting this thing up. Yeah, you know, this is not, you know, some parkland course like we get here in the United States where the greens are perfect and everything is manicured to the hill. This is golf the way it was originally played. You're getting a taste of what it was like on golf courses that were formed by nature, you know, and it's something that today, you know, that it started out, you know, 50 degrees, a little spitting rain here and there, windy, you know, but the golf course was soft and players were able to go out early and get some good scores. Jordan Spieth was 65 in the morning and Brooks Koepka did that as well. And some other guys took it deep. And Ian Poulter with a nice 3-under par this morning. And then it got a little bit better. The wind kicked up, but the rains died away. Changing guys, Matt Kuchar goes out, shoots 29 in the front. He comes in at 65. Paul Casey does the same thing, shoots 66. Tomorrow's the day. I mean, today was clearly the day, and the guys went out and knew it. Yeah, the banks and birdies, because it sounds like hellfire and brimstone could be on the way. And exactly what that's going to be like, we don't know. It sounds like that the guys who had late afternoon tee times today and are going to get out early tomorrow morning may catch the better of the draw, because it's supposed to end up getting rainy and windy. Now, exactly what you get and how much you get and how bad it's going to get can make a huge difference. And all of a sudden, like, you know, if Jordan Spieth goes out there and shoots 77 because it's 35-mile-an-hour wind and it's out in their rain, but somebody who goes out earlier in the day, like Matt Kuchar, gets off the course and par, all of a sudden you can see massive swings on the leaderboard. So buckle up, Scotty, because I think that tomorrow, you know, the second round is what you're going to get. It's what you love about this tournament.
So let me ask you, Rory went out bogey, par, bogey, 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 five bogeys on the first six holes, insanity, and then he talked himself back into playing great golf on the backside. Birdie 11, birdie 15, birdie 17, 18 going out, saves his round, is sitting plus one. That could have been disastrous, that round, and finished him. He could have been out of the open by tomorrow automatic, but what a turnaround.
Well, his caddy, J.P. Fitzgerald, gave him a kick in the ass on the seventh tee box and basically told him, you know, you got to basically decide, are we going to be out of here in another 24 hours or are you going to step up and play big-time golf? And he responded. You know, he's been whining a little bit about his putting not being good and this and that. And I took a little real deep dive into the numbers and what's been going on with Rory McIlroy. He's missed several cuts in a row. At this point, his putting is not the problem. He's never historically been a bad putter or especially good putter. He's kind of just an average. He's an elite ball striker. He and Dustin Johnson, I think, are the two best guys off the team from the fairway in the business. And he's been loose in those areas. But he picked up steam. He turned some momentum around and I think showed a lot of guts. I picked Rory McIlroy, even though he missed his last two cuts. I picked him to win this week. So thank God he pulled it out from the abyss. Otherwise, I would have been actually cooked in Vegas. But I think that he's out there. If he gets out there and he can shoot even par or maybe a 100, 200, like a 69 or a 68, get off the golf course, let that weather come in, I think absolutely Rory McIlroy showed us something today. And if he can just get a couple of things to go his way, a couple of breaks, he could absolutely get himself right back in this tournament, so, potentially win his second British Open.
I was talking last night about Rafi Bello, how he played at the Scottish last week and how hot he was. And then he turned a 3-under today. He had four birdies on the front side, two on the back. He had a nice round. He's 3-under. Everybody laughed at me when I brought his name up, but hasn't that been the case before when a guy is playing over there in that Scottish the week before it starts and he's hot and playing well on those types of courses that he could keep it going?
I think it's a huge advantage. You know, as much as I love John Deere trackers and all that kind of stuff and playing out there in the Quad Cities, I think it's a huge advantage for guys to get an extra week playing the Scottish Open, playing Lynx Golf, getting themselves on time so that they're not flying, you know, from the middle of Iowa out there all the way over either, in this case, to England or to Scotland, depending on where the venue is for the British Open. I think it's a huge advantage. And if you can win, then it just gives you that much more confidence. It gets you out playing the types of shots. And Cabrera Bello plays some of the European Tour. He's also on the US PGA Tour quite a bit. You're just playing different styles of golf. The idea that, you know, you get a par four and on the US PGA Tour, when you see the flag in the middle of the green, you hit it there, you have it bounce once, and then you make a check and stop. Here, you might actually intentionally land the ball on these courses 10 or 15 yards short of the front of the green and anticipate it's going to bound up there, release, roll another, like, say, 20 or 30 yards right up there. It's just a different mentality, and it takes some getting used to. And I think it's a huge advantage to play a tournament or two in the UK on links golf courses if you really want to try and go out there and win a British Open.
Do you think that David Dusick with us Golf Week, that Koepka, after winning the Open on almost that kind of course, that if he wins this thing, because he's 5-under, played brilliantly today, 65, this guy, we already knew that he had massive talent, but does, if he wins a second major this year, does he turn into a rock star in golf?
He does. I mean, at this point, if he wins the British Open after 4 weeks ago winning the U.S. Open at Erin Hills, then he probably has locked up Player of the Year. He will obviously keep his accountant really busy. But it's one thing to win a major. Lots of guys have won a major. The list of guys who have won two majors trims it down quite a bit. And people who've won back-to-back majors is a pretty amazing feat. I mean, to be able to beat the best players in the world in a major championship when the best players are really setting up their games and their schedules, their entire season around those specific events. And look, at the end of the day, Koepka took a whole bunch of time off, enjoyed the victory, relished it, got back in the gym, got back to practicing, didn't play tournament golf, but clearly showed today that you know, he stirred a whole bunch of pars together, got out there, as you said, birdied 8, goes out in 33, pitches in from the bunker on 17 for eagle. You know, everybody who wins has a little bit of good fortune, but there's nothing in his game that's any glaring weakness, and he has so much power that he can hit, you know, the driving iron off the tee or bang out, you know, a fairway wood and pump it out there 300 yards. And on these fairways that are so tight and give you so much bounce, he doesn't have to hit driver. He can really control the ball, keep it down below the wind. You know what? It's an amazingly tough thing to do to win a major. It's really, really that much tougher to win it back-to-back, but I wouldn't put it past the guy.
Hey, can you talk more? I gotta do an update. Can you talk more golf, or do you got to roll?
Only for you, Scott, of course. I will absolutely stick around.
We're styling David Dusick. We're going to talk about what's wrong with Phil. Is Phil going down the other side of the mountain +3 today, or will he be able to turn it around? A lot of names to talk about on the leaderboard. Casey's right there, if not for a bogey on 11. He's playing as well as Koepka and Spieth. Can Jordan Spieth keep this up through the weekend in crazy weather? It's the Open Championship.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
Frazier's first at bat tonight for the Yankees. He had two yesterday, and Minnie got beaned on one of them in the hand. Here he is batting tonight. He can't get the ball out of the infield. He popped up, and it barely made it to first base. Is he really hitting 207 or something like that? It's staggering. Carver High gets angry at me when I talk bad about any Yankee player's batting average.
It's his third at bat with the team.
Well, listen.
Can we give him a break?
I'm preparing for next Friday and the following Friday. Got to be critical to get ratings.
You're right.
Thanks. Sign up to be an Overwards member today and start earning instantly. Overwards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, easy, and free, and only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212-4CBS. David Dusick is our guy when it comes to golf. Golf Week's finest. He's got rock star status on the bench and his own locker and parking spot at the club and free membership. Let me ask you about Phil Mickelson. Everyone loves Phil, right? Women, children, old ladies, you name it. But is it the beginning of the end, do you think? Like that, like I remember last year he was racking up like 17 under, and today's three bogeys. But, I mean, what has been his deal this season in these big events?
You know, it could be the fact that finally Father Time is getting him. I mean, Phil Mickelson is now 47 years old, and he does some things still really, really well. He putts better than he used to, which is kind of an amazing thing. Usually as guys get older, scar tissue, the yips, you know, all that kind of stuff, it just sort of eggs in. But Mickelson has been able to outthink himself and get some great performances there with that. But the inconsistency with his game week to week is pretty much, you know, something that he's having trouble overcoming at this point. You know, there was a time when his talent with the short game, with his wedges. I mean, he's famous. You know, the guy can literally hit the ball backwards. He can make, you know, stand 3 paces away from somebody and a flop shot right over him. All these amazing things that he can do. As good as anybody has literally ever been in the game. It's tougher and tougher, I think, these days for him to overcome sometimes some of the ball striking stuff. He's still really good. And any given week, it wouldn't the least bit surprise me for him to overcome and win. But at some point or another, every player's skills start to deteriorate. I still think that Phil Mickelson is capable of winning a PGA Tour event. I think he will win more PGA Tour events, maybe one or two more. But look, the guy's 47. And at this point, the people that we were talking about in that first segment, you know, you take a look at the top of the leaderboard, Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka, you know, maybe not Kuchar and Casey, but Justin Thomas is hanging in there at T6 after he shot 66. These are kids. You know, these are young guys, Hideki Matsuyama, other guys. You know, we talked about Rory a little bit. We talked about Dustin Johnson. And Mickelson's got 15 or 20 years on some of these guys. So, yeah, this is what's supposed to happen. At some point or another, you know, every athlete, no matter what the sport, you know, you have to cede some of the glory and some of the wins and some of the accolades to the next generation of players. And that next generation of players is here.
What do you think of Matsuyama? I was talking about him last night as a solid bet. I said that would be a guy I'd bet on.
I have a man crush on Hideki Matsuyama. That dude, if he were an American player, he's a cool dude. There's a little bit of a language barrier there. He's been working on his English. He moved to the United States about 2 years ago. He's got a place down in Florida. He's an amazing player. He's absolutely amazing. He has a very unique swing. He's got this hitch at the top. Most guys, when they swing a club back, they sort of, you know, pause really, really fast and then swing down and hit the ball. He pauses at the top for like this really long period of time and then goes down and absolutely smokes the ball. He hits it more solid than just about anybody out there. It's something that if you go right up and down the line, Scott, every guy on the tour is just amazed. He can't putt for beans. You know, it's kryptonite. When he has an okay putting week, he wins PGA Tour events. Like, he can go out there and do it. You know, I remember at Oak Hill in 2013 when Jason Duffner wins the PGA Championship and he shoots 63 and it could have been a 62 if he could putt. But Hideki Matsuyama was paired with him, and I was with that group in Rochester that summer, and he was like step for step right with Duff. And I'm looking at this guy, I'm like, who is this? I hadn't seen him before playing in person, and every time now I have a chance to watch Hideki Matsuyama play, I take advantage of that because he is absolutely fantastic. And he's just 25 years of age. He's number two in the world. If people watch golf, they know who he is. If you're some of your listeners just tune in, you know, during major championships when you and I chat, you know, they may not have heard about this guy. He is unbelievably talented.
Yeah, I like him. I'm a fan. What about Schwartzel? What a round. After the seventh hole, the guy went off with 5 birdies the rest of the way, and he's sitting there at 4 under, and he's been in these big things before. He knows what's up.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, Charles Schwartzel is somebody who's been up and down in his career. You sort of wonder, like, you know, he wins, obviously, the Masters a few years ago. You know, birdie, I think it was the last 4 holes at Augusta National to win. It's difficult sometimes for him to sort of keep the momentum through the seasons, but he has got a great swing. He's got a great attitude. He went through a pretty big equipment change last year. He signed out with BXG, so he's got all new gear through his bag, but it seems like at this point he's got all that stuff worked out. Again, we're talking about guys who aren't the household names, and I'm telling you that the depth and the quality of the depth in professional golf has never been better. And we can just go up and down the leaderboard and name guys. But again, like, listeners and people who don't follow golf week in and week out may not have heard of some of these guys. Daniel Berger is really, really good. Goes out today and shoots 2 under for 68. He's somebody who's fantastic. Alex Noren, you know, is another guy who plays exclusively on the European Tour. The guy is an absolute stud. And then you look at somebody like Thomas Peters from Belgium this today, who goes out and shoots 69. Again, when he was in the Ryder Cup, the most pressure-packed situations that our sport provides last year, he came out and absolutely showed no fear whatsoever and was a stud for the European team. He was going to be an absolute monster. He hits it every bit as far as Dustin Johnson does. He's starting to play now on the US PGA Tour. That's another guy you're going to see. And it's just, there's so many good guys, Scott, which is why when you asked me before on the other one, you know, what about Brooks Koepka winning back-to-back, you know, majors? I mean, just won the US Open, and maybe can he do it at the British Open? He's got to be all of these guys. It's not like when you're in tennis with Federer, and all props to Federer for just winning another Wimbledon championship, but he only has to complete some of the guys in the field. In golf, you have to be everybody, and it's a tall order.
So Stenson won it last year. He's one under, a nice little round, 69. What do you think of his chances to do it again? Like, I don't think that's undoable, four back.
I don't think it's undoable, but I don't believe in it, because last year Henrik Stenson came in and was the second player in a row to win a British Open, and having come into the tournament for the season with a strokes gained of negative. And what that means, Scott, is that over the course of the season, his putting was worse than the average PGA Tour player, and he got hot at absolutely the right time. I mean, the guy is like a Tommy gun with the irons and with and hitting off the tee. He's a fantastic ball striker, always has been. Now, all of a sudden, his putting is great, but he's gone through a major swing change. The guy's really working on the swing, and I wonder at this point, looking at what he's accomplished so far this season, at age 41, he's finally got his major. If he can put right now four rounds together, you know, with a swing that's been using a little bit of duct tape and C-clamps to hold that thing together a little bit this year, I don't know that right now Henrik Stenson is there, but time will tell. He was able to get one. Maybe he can patch it together and get hot for another week and keep the claret jug and bring it back home to Sweden again.
How about Charlie Hoffman? Started with an eagle. He had three bogeys out there today, but he had four birdies. He was all over the place, but three under.
Any guy who wears a green trucker snapback hat, I have total respect for that. Green glove, the blonde flowing locks. The kid is resplendent walking down there. I love watching Charlie Hoffman. Every time that we're playing a major, somehow or another, I was just joking with somebody the other day, like Charlie Hoffman all of a sudden decides he wants to play some golf. Again, who knows? I have a feeling that we're going to get chalk that's going to move up to the top of the leaderboard as we go in through tomorrow's bad weather and then into the weekend. And if you take a look, it's already kind of setting up with Spieth, Koepka, Kuchar, you know, Justin Thomas, who's won three times so far on the PGA Tour this year. There's a couple other guys that are lurking. We'll see what we get, but I have a funny feeling that we talked a little bit about Rahm and, you know, some of those guys a few times ago, Jason. I look at some of these guys, and I think the chalk, the big names, are going to start to move up the leaderboard over the course of Friday and definitely on Saturday.
And what did you think of Casey's round?
You know, Casey's been one of those guys that gets overlooked so much. You know, he is, over the last 2 years, probably the most improved player on the PGA Tour, just remarried. He and his wife had a little boy. They've got another one on the way. He prepared for this tournament. Instead of going out and playing in the Scottish Open or playing some others, he was up road biking through the Alps in Italy, out on a road bike, going up hills, riding like 120 miles a day. He's a big-time cyclist when he's back home in the Phoenix area. He's fit as a fiddle. I think he's mentally refreshed. He's in a great place, just like off the golf course, a totally happy guy, and has got a new caddy on the back throughout the last year and a half. I think that Paul Casey, it would be a really popular win in the clubhouse. I can tell you, he's got a lot of friends and people pulling for him. And, yeah, he's a veteran. He's played multiple Ryder Cups. He will not be afraid of the stage. You know, when Louis Oosthuizen came out and won his British Open in 2010 at St. Andrews, Paul Casey was the guy who was in the final group with him. He's been in those situations. He'll stand up to it. I don't know if he's going to win, but he will not cower or shrink like a violet, because he's in the mix come Sunday afternoon.
How about these? I got less than a minute. These fans are like savages when they hit a ball into the fescue. They surround the ball like animals.
So the best thing I can tell you about this, and you above all people, Scotty, will love this. If you go out on the golf course in that terrible weather in American stadiums and stuff like that, you know, it's, trust me, we get a hot dog, you get some nachos, you get a beer, you go to whatever. Out there at the British Open, you go out on the golf course, they got scotch out there on the course. You can go in there and get it. You can go out there and get shots of the famous grouse as you're walking around there. And so, I mean, like, those people are ready to go at it. You know, and so, yeah, if the ball gets hit into the course or into the rough, you get a bunch of drunk English guys and Scotsmen all jumping in there. They got no fear. They're out there having a good time. It's a great event. But one point in every golfer's life, you got to go to the Open Championship.
Wow, I know. If you don't do it, you're a loser. David, great stuff tonight. Fantastic golf coverage on the Open Championship. Enjoy the rest of the tournament all weekend long. I know I will. Always love having you on a bench. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Scotty.
All right, David Dusick of Golf Week checking in on the Open Championship. I'm actually watching it right now, and I'm enjoying it with no volume on. Like I do every sporting event, no volume ever. I just watch baseball, golf, everything, basketball, everything. I don't know, Mafia, I told you I watched this, the basketball tournament, the $2 million basketball tournament. Amazing stuff tonight. I saw Boeheim's Army. They were, I mean, they had all kinds of old Syracuse players playing with them. Good stuff. I can't get enough basketball either.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.